Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by the friendliest voice in Transformers podcasting, Mike Seibert, as we review Transformers 84 Issue 4. Flint Dilly is auctioning off some of his old Transformers stuff, and Weird Al leaks the Cybertronic Spree's new Dare to be Stupid music video. Today is Friday, October 30th, 2020, and this is episode 205 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that will do anything for its friends, which includes killing oneself because loyalty. I'm Rose Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Special guest and friend of the show, Mike Seibert.
Hello, thanks for having me back.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Was that the first time you read that intro? Let's talk Transformers.
Dramatic pause. But it was the first time. Yeah, okay. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for continuing to support the show. If you'd like to become a Donatrion, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can sign up, either on Patreon or PayPal. We also have merchandise from our TeePublic store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Got lots of shirts and masks and a sale going on right now. TeePublic has a site-wide sale going on right now. Everything 35% off, which means t-shirts are $13 a piece. And this is going on until Halloween. So it's a spooky sale. So you should definitely, if you were planning to help us out and buy something from our Transmission store, this is the weekend to do it. Anything you buy through our link from TeePublic gives us support. So please help us out. And we just had the winner. We drew the Toy Hacks winner for October in the toy show. And that was Scott, one of our Donatrions. Not Dr. Pants, but another Scott. So congratulations to him for winning the $20 Toy Hacks gift code this October. So thanks to a previous winner, we got an extra $10 in the pot. So that was cool. And we had the... this coming Monday, we will have the uncut version of Empire of Rust episode 35, a trio of triple changers. So we just had that episode drop this week on Monday, and now for our exclusive Donatrions, for they get the uncut director's commentary version of this episode, and that will be out this Monday, November 2nd. And, of course, we have Mike Seibert back on the show. He was on the toy show this week. Thanks again for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm excited and grateful that you guys have had me back after that epic several hour recording sesh for the toy show. Woof, that was a lot of third party toys. I think that's the most I've talked about toys that I care the least about in a long time. I don't think I've even talked about Studio Series 86 on my own show for as long as I've talked about the TFCon online third party panel. But it was great fun. I love talking about transforming robots, and I could do it as much as the day is long.
Awesome. Yeah. And so we did a little mini interview with Mike on the toy show, since it was his first time guest hosting on Transmissions. And we did do the rapid fire gauntlet of questions. So definitely listen to that. Go back and listen to episode 405 of Transmissions if you have not already. And we're going to soldier on and get into comics and media. So we'll start off with some comics news. So just one thing this week in comics news, we have the solicitations from IDW for January 2021. So these are the upcoming Transformers comics. Nothing really super shocking or surprising. We've all heard about these series coming up. We've got the main Transformers series, Transformers number 27. We've got the announced Transformers Escape miniseries. This is the miniseries that is basically taking the place of Transformers Galaxies as Galaxies is wrapping up with issue 12. So Transformers Escape is a new miniseries focusing on several Transformers trying to mobilize an exodus from Cybertron for all the bots who don't want to take part in the war. So there's a lot of arcs getting built in the Transformers Escape. So that series is starting in a few months. And this in January 2021 is issue number 2. And then we'll have the final issue of the Transformers Back to the Future crossover, issue number 4. And also the My Little Pony Transformers crossover trade paperback. So that is collecting all 4 issues of that miniseries in a trade paperback. So all these comics coming up in January, you can go to your local comics retailer and reserve them, if you want to pre-order them, since they're in the solicitations now. And that will bring us to our comic review for this week. We are reviewing Transformers 84, issue number 4. This is written by Simon Furman. Art by Guido Guidi, colors by John Paul Bove, letters by Jake M. Wood, editors David Marriott and Tom Waltz, and assistant editor Riley Farmer. We've got 3 covers for this comic. Cover A is Megatron showing the business end of the fusion cannon. That is art by Guido Guidi, and it's very stylized there. It's very bright. you're basically seeing your life flash before your eyes as Megatron aims his fusion cannon at you. Cover B is Grimlock facing a zombie Megatron as his antimatter goes critical. And that is art by Casey Collar and colors by John Paul Bove. And then the retailer incentive cover is The Wreckers, the OG Wreckers by Nick Roche, art by Nick Roche and colors by Josh Burcham. So, Mike, of these 3 covers, which do you like?
I like all these covers. Cover A was originally talking to me because it almost has that 86 movie heroic nonsense vibe to it, and it's just so vibrant. But I'm gonna pick cover B. What really sold me on it was the Kirby dots, the Kirby crackle that Casey's got in here with this rendition. I thought Megatron's pose was a little derpy at first, but then I read the issue and then it all just kind of makes sense. And I like comic covers that actually have something to do with the story. And again, it's Casey, man, come on. But yeah, it was the Kirby dots that cemented it for me. I'm all about cover B.
All right. Daryl, which cover are you picking?
Oh man, there are 3 awesome covers this week, and it's really difficult to pick one. I'm not going to be upset if I don't get the one I want, but then again, it's going to be difficult because I want the RI cover. I want the retailer incentive cover by Nick Roche with the Wreckers on it. And it's just really cool. It's having Nick draw his Wreckers again, and it's just a really cool looking cover. But I mean, like I said, I won't be upset if I get any of these covers. So, and if I have a choice, I will buy all 3. So they're phenomenal. They are really great. Everyone brought their A game.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, Jeremy, which cover are you picking?
Well, much like Daryl, if I have the choice, I will pull Shelton on this. In all 3. however, I think if I were just to get one, I love the intensity of cover A. It's just insane. And then like how part of the image goes behind the logo and part goes in front of the logo. That's really cool. I like it. And yeah, so that would be the one if I could only had to get one.
All right. I am going to side with Jeremy. I think cover A. Yeah, I agree that the image is just so iconic, and you know, it, you can feel the fusion cannon. You can almost feel the heat of the fusion cannon as it's about to blast you in the face. And yeah, it's just an awesome image. And but all three of these covers are stellar, so you couldn't go wrong with any of them. But yeah, cover A for me.
Yeah, I just love the composition that Guido does, where it's like, you know, Megatron's right arm or left arm is bracing the fusion cannon. Also, that is mm-hmm. super cool.
Yeah. All right, we've gone through the covers, so now let's get into the review of Transformers 84, Secrets and Lies, issue number 4. After the events of the last issue, Grimlock has returned to the Ark and his senses after coming down from his Energon high. But it's too late since the malfunctioning Auntie sees Grimlock as another threat and has unleashed a fully powered up but mindless Megatron to stop him. Megatron slams into Grimlock, knocking them through the Ark's hull, through the mountain that would eventually be named Mount St. Hilary, and out into the nearby forest. Grimlock is stunned, but he recovers quickly and is ready to answer Megatron's savage assault. He draws his Energon sword and stabs Megatron in the chest, but Megatron doesn't scream in pain or anger. He's a completely mindless drone. What's worse, a massive bloom of energy starts leaking from the wound Grimlock gave him that matches the energy flaring from his soulless optics. Their battle draws the attention of the nearby Decepticon Seekers, Thrust, Dirge, and Ramjet, who were busy fighting the Autobot drones Auntie had revived. Ramjet recognizes the energy coming from Megatron as antimatter leaking from Megatron's ability to draw energy from a black hole. And antimatter reacting with normal matter only has one result, annihilation. Thrust, Dirge, and Ramjet can still fly, so they take the opportunity to cut their losses and escape the coming apocalypse. As they leave, they offer Grimlock a warning. Figure out how to shut down Megatron in his catatonic drone state, or escape while he can. Back on Cybertron, Punch joins the Wreckers on their first official mission. Using Counterpunch's intel, Punch leads them to the site of the planetary engines the Decepticons are building to turn Cybertron into a mobile war world. Whirl, flying in helicopter mode and carrying Rack and Ruin, scouts ahead to find an energy control tower marking the spot of the underground facility. But before they can attack, Whirl is surprised and nearly crushed in the hands of the giant Decepticon guarding this facility, the Terracon Combiner Abominus. Impactor leads the other Wreckers to join the fight and awkwardly comes up with their signature battle cry, Wreck and Rule. While most of the Wreckers fight Abominus, Twin Twist and Topspin drill down into the ground to find the hidden underground base below. A measly combiner won't stop the Wreckers as Wreck and Ruin delivers a hammer strike to Abominus's face, knocking him off his feet. The rest of the Wreckers and Punch press the attack. Back on Earth, Grimlock is holding his own against Megatron, but the antimatter reaction is intensifying and close to going critical. Grimlock realizes he needs to shut down Auntie to stop Megatron since the Ark's computer is controlling the mindless Decepticon leader. Grimlock rushes back inside the Ark as the antimatter chain reaction begins to engulf Megatron. Grimlock reaches the main computer and delivers a mighty punch, shutting the Ark and Auntie down completely. This also shuts down Megatron and closes off his antimatter power source. Crisis averted. On Cybertron, the Wreckers complete their mission. Topspin and Twin Twist get into the underground base and set explosive charges, while the other Wreckers keep the Terracons busy on the surface. After the charges are set, Impactor gives the order to retreat, and the Decepticons' planet engines are blown to Kingdom Come. It's a small victory, but it keeps the Autobots in the fight, and the war for Cybertron grinds on. But Punch, aka Counterpunch, still has a problem. As a member of Straxus's inner circle, Counterpunch observes as Thrust, Dirge, and Ramjet call for support from the Nemesis in orbit around Earth. Counterpunch needs to make sure Megatron and the other Decepticons stay lost in space, and the survival of the Coneheads complicates matters. But Counterpunch didn't need to worry. Straxus's own self-interest takes care of the problem itself. Straxus likes his new position of power, and Megatron returning to assume Decepticon command would be inconvenient for him. So he offers the Coneheads a deal. He'll send a ship to rescue them and return to Cybertron, but they must never divulge the location of the Ark to anyone else. If they do, the consequences will be unpleasant. The Coneheads are no fools and readily agree to keep their mouths shut. Finally, we glimpse the final fate of Grimlock, the last online Cybertronian left on Earth. He contemplates how his stubbornness had led to the death of his fellow Dinobots. Thinking their bodies were unrecoverable in the tar pits, Grimlock decides to join them in their fate. Of course, we know this is not the end of the story, but the beginning. And that is the conclusion of Transformers 84, Secrets and Lies. Yeah, so this was a fun little side story. I liked how everything got wrapped up and all the toys get put back in the box as any good retcon does.
Yeah.
and, you know, telling a fun story in the margins from the Marvel series. Weaving in, of course, Simon Furman. He's a bit of an expert on the Marvel Transformers series, so he can masterfully weave all the ins and outs of these characters, taking references from both the Marvel U.S. and U.K. series and putting it all together. And I liked Punch and Counterpunch and the role that they played throughout the series. And this was a nice a nice little end cap here. We got some combiner action with Abominus. We have the Wrecker's first mission. We have Grimlock. The only weakness I saw with Grimlock was it just seemed a little odd that he wouldn't even bother to check on any of the other Autobots left on Earth to try and help them out. He's just so fatalistic. He thinks everyone is dead, so he'll just join them. I think that's one nitpick. But I think other than that, the whole story pretty much hangs together. Mike, have you been reading this whole series? And what did you think of this final issue?
Yeah, I have. I was actually really excited to get this opportunity to review the final issue early. You said it already, Charles, but yeah, I love these kinds of stories where it's like in between the gutters. You know, it's like mm-hmm. things that, you know, it can fit. There's nothing that says that it's necessarily contradicting anything and that everything kind of gets set back up at the end. Secrets and Lies, more like all out action. I think they mistitled this because it has been a fun series, but this issue in particular rules. I had a lot of fun with it. Just with the Megatron Grimlock fight. And, you know, like when we were talking about the covers earlier, I mentioned the proliferation of the Kirby dots and the Kirby crackle, you know, kind of like that old Jack Kirby Marvel Comics effect. And mm-hmm. yeah, no, I just I thought it was really vivid and really fun. I had a blast with it.
Awesome. Daryl, what did you think? I hope there was enough action in this book for you.
was there action? There was tons. There was tons. Yeah. No, it was fantastic. I thought this issue was great. And right from the word go, yeah, it was a great, great story. Tons and tons of action. I loved seeing Abominus here. And that was just icing on the cake for me with this one. You know, it was, I didn't expect a combiner to appear in this one, and there he is. So that's great. I liked the idea that Megatron is, you know, completely out of his wits, not being, you know, being controlled by somebody else. So you get a great Megatron fight, but you don't get any of that stupid back and forth, you know, that he tends to have during a fight. So it's literally just a knockdown, drag out fight with no dialogue other than, you know, Grimlock talking in his head. So yeah, it was a great fight. A lot of great action. I'm kind of confused as to what happened to Megatron, when he exploded. I'm assuming that, like, the way I read it is, you know, he's kind of exploded, but I guess when Grimlock punched Auntie, then that kind of killed the explosion. I don't know how that kind of works. I'm not a doctor, so I can't really figure it out. Obviously, you understand it more than I do, but the antimatter obviously has a Wi-Fi you know, chip so it can, you know, go to him, you know, remotely. And Megatron is a Bluetooth device. But so I don't really understand how that all worked. I figured he was in some kind of, you know, meltdown state, and then he wasn't. So, you know, I get that Megatron punched a computer that was not near Megatron. And
Grimlock punched the computer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, the other way around. and yeah, so the fact that he wasn't exploding anymore kind of pissed me off, but whatever. The whole story was fantastic. I love how we got a reason why Impactor, you know, doesn't have a hand on his right hand.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that was definitely written in there. Yeah, so I thought it was great. It was fantastic. I really want more of these issues. Like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of upset that this is the last one. But I have a feeling that we'll see more of these.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I also, it's the logic of why the antimatter reaction shut down when Grimlock shut down Auntie is it's a little bit hand wavy. I definitely agree with you. My best guess is that since Auntie was directly controlling Megatron, she was controlling all his weapon systems, and the weapon systems are what
system. It wasn't a weapon system. The notes in the back say that Megatron is a conduit for this antimatter through a or tap through a black hole, which I'm guessing when Auntie shut him down, or when Auntie was shut down, Megatron just kind of was disabled again, and the conduit was closed. It is still hand wavy, but that's how I read it.
Fair enough, yeah. And yeah, so I mean, so anything, something like that happens, a wizard did it. That's the
space magic. I also like that we're it's you know, we're talking antimatter. It's more like antimatter. Am I right?
Oh man! Get this guy out of here. But yeah, so Jeremy, what were your thoughts on the book?
I enjoyed it too. It was a great action-packed issue, and I was also surprised to see Abominus, and thought it was great seeing the Wreckers in action against them, and just the art was amazing as always in this series. And it was interesting to see kind of how they got back to what we know of in the, you know, the original series, but with just a little bit extra depth. And you know, we see kind of at the end, you know, Star Saber, Fortress Maximus, and Ultra Magnus, who kind of lead the three, you know, lead the Autobots, you know, kind of from three different points of view in the main series. And it's just, it was just a lot of fun. Great. The only complaint I have is there was no Scrounge in the series at all.
My other little nitpick is that, so Megatron shuts down, he's clearly sitting outside the Ark. So are we to believe that Grimlock dragged his body back inside the Ark just for reasons? Or
Auntie was disabled at that point, so
yeah, but why would Grimlock bother to drag Megatron back into the Ark before he goes and kills himself?
Yeah,
he didn't.
I did have also issues though? With
well I mean wizard, someone has to yeah. That when the Autobots and Decepticons wake up in 1984, they're all still in the Ark.
Oh, so, yeah, right. Of course.
Someone had to put his body back in the Ark.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of one dangling plot thread that
maybe that's Transformers 84 Revelations and Rewinds issues 5-8 or something. That's the next miniseries.
There you go. Well, and that was something I was going to ask. I may be getting too far ahead, but where does this go from here? Do we, because obviously there's an audience for it. We all dig it. We all want more. But playing the speculation game, what else could we touch on? Where does it go from here?
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much on Cybertron that could be told while, like, concurrent with what we see in happening on Earth in the Marvel series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure some of the UK stories also tie into that, but I mean, there's a lot of kind of untold stories that are in there.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love to see more Cybertron. I would love to see like just other like tales of Transformers visiting other worlds and interacting with other alien races. Like, we in the Marvel series had the Headmaster series. Mm-hmm. Something similar to that, where other Transformers left Cybertron to go visit other planets or whatever. I think that would be interesting. Something delving more into the other characters here. Like, we've set up this triumvirate on both sides. We've got Magnus, Star Saber, and
Fortress
Maximus. Yeah, and then on the other side we've got Thunderwing, Scorponok, and Straxus. So showing some power struggles between all those factions would be interesting, I think. Fleshing out Scorponok and Thunderwing in particular, since they had big roles in the Marvel series later, mm-hmm. Later in the series. So that would be cool.
Yeah. I'd almost like to see some of the wackier 86 concepts bring in, you know, you get like, get yourself some Quintessons, get yourself some Junkions, you know, just some of like the weird aliens that, you know, we meet in season 3, you know, mm-hmm. I think any of that stuff would work. And yeah, I think you guys are right. You know, more adventures on Cybertron, kind of like more like, where did these characters go? You know, I love those kinds of stories. It's like where, you know, especially with a cast as big as Transformers, there are tons of characters that just vanish. Mm-hmm. it would be kind of cool to see some of those tied off.
And I mean, in particular, I would like to see what the final fate of Punch/Counterpunch is, because you know, of course, in the regular series, when we get to Straxus back, you know, we see Straxus in issue 17 and 18 of the main Marvel series. He does not have Counterpunch as his lieutenant with him, so I would imagine something bad happens to Counterpunch at some point before we get to 1984. So that's always, I'd be curious to see what the final fate of Punch is.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets discovered as a double agent and then, you know, bad stuff happens to him.
Yeah.
I do really like him being the framing device of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's definitely that definitely adds a lot to the story here. All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this issue and our review of Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies, issue number 4. And we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in Media News this week, we got a couple things. And first up, we've got the some new images of a ride at the Universal Resort in Beijing. And it's the Metro Base attraction. And it's a roller coaster that brings you through the gaping maw of that, I don't even know really what to call it, but it's that, you know, that monster that Shockwave controls in Dark of the Moon. So it's kind of like this mechanical worm thing, like the Tremors, like a Tremors worm, but Shockwave controls it. So yeah, it's a roller coaster that...
I believe the technical term is Graboid.
That's dumb. I like mechanical Tremors worm. They call it Dark of the Moon Driller, but that's even worse. That's just lame. So yeah, it's the Tremors worm from Dark of the Moon, and that's kind of cool. I mean, it's a neat idea to have a roller coaster where you kind of exit this thing. I like that. It looks neat. And obviously there's a couple other pictures here that show off Transformer Land, I guess.
It's the Nest, like the Nest headquarters.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they've got, obviously if you've been to Universal in either, Los Angeles or Florida, you've also seen the the Megatron or the Optimus and the costumes there, and they have them here as well. So it's neat. It's it looks like a fun vacation destination if anyone's able to do those ever again.
They can have Megatron insult you in Chinese.
Right. Yes.
In China they've tamped down the pandemic, so I guess people can do that there. Just we can't experience it, but they can.
Yeah, I guess communist governments have a little bit more control over their populace. next up, we've got Dare to Be Stupid from Weird Al Yankovic. He posted Cybertronics 3 doing his song. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, and the Spree released it on his birthday also.
Right. This was like the last part of their Kickstarter stuff that they owed for making it. And you obviously didn't watch the video because there's Weird Al actually, spoiler alert, shows up at the end of the video.
Well, the video is also rotten with Weird Al's. There are tons of Weird Al's. Including who shows up. But yeah, funny story about that. So, Jeremy, like you said, it was a Kickstarter reward. I, as a Kickstarter backer of Transformers 1986, their cover album of the soundtrack, I got an email saying, okay, the video is done. Here's the link. We're going to publish it tomorrow. And then Weird Al subsequently tweets the link out. So as Kickstarter backers, we got to enjoy maybe like 10 minutes of early access. But it's all in fun. It was all good.
If it's gonna be leaked out, have it be leaked out by
absolutely, absolutely. And it's a great version of the song, and the video is really, really fun. And there's some really cool deep cuts, Weird Al references in there as well. So folks that are fans of Weird Al will find a lot to like in the Dare to Be Stupid video from the Cybertronic Spree.
Cool. Yeah. No, I haven't watched this. All right. Next up, we've got Flint Dilly's auctioning off some old stuff that he got from his time at Hasbro. He's got a Japanese Transformers movie Laserdisc, a boxed G1 blaster. Hey, I got one of those. Transformers the movie poster from the Sunbow offices. This will be really
cool.
There's
more. There's lots more. Like, I just found like the first three Transformers things that I saw, but he's got like stuff from his days working with TSR, some Sunbow stuff from G.I. Joe, Visionaries,
and Humanoids.
He's clearing out, like, I guess this room that he had all this stuff stored in. So it's going to be amazing to see what prices some of these things go for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and as of yet, he has,
there's a link in the show notes.
Yeah, I was going to say two things. One, if you're not following Flint Dilly on Facebook, do yourself a favor because you are missing out, because this stuff that he is excavating is gold. But as of this recording, he has yet to discover the script treatment called The Secret of Cybertron, which is basically his first crack at Transformers the movie. Vastly different than the final movie, which basically, you know, you had the Ron Friedman script, then Flint Dilly's treatment of it, and then somewhere in the middle that became the final movie. But Flint Dilly did like his entire he did his own crack at it. That's so legendary that no copies of it exist. And he thinks he's got one in this office that he's been cleaning out.
Crossing our fingers.
For the eBay auctions, we'll have a link in our show notes to a friend of his that's actually handling the auction side of things. So that's the legitimate link to follow.
Right on. And I guess the Battlegrounds, Transformers Battlegrounds is available. I'm not going to say today because it's not today anymore. But this was on the 23rd.
Last week.
Yeah. So, if you're a 12-year-old, and like this game, and want to do something Transformers-y, pick this game up, ask your parents to buy this game, and play it after school.
You're insulting our masterpiece donatrion, John Forex Levengood, who said that you know, he's into strategy games and he thinks this might be a good one.
Well, I've yet to hear his review in a voicemail. So until then, it's for children.
I will say it is $40 on Steam. So I'm not sure if it's worth that, but that's what it costs.
Well, it's brand new. I mean, I can see them still charging new prices. Anyway, it's available. If you are looking for something like this, then you can go and get it. And that's it for media news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with some feedback. So Dinobot Maximize put a couple questions in the Discord chat this week. First, he asks, what Transformers-related book had the most covers made for it? I'm guessing Transformers Infiltration number one, but I could be wrong. Well, Dinobot, I gotta say, that's a hard question for us to answer. I mean, I think you'd have to comb through the whole Transformers wiki to go look through the covers.
How many covers did the number one of the recent relaunch have?
Half dozen?
Had a lot. Yeah, but
Unicron had a lot.
I think maybe the Revolution miniseries, that issue number one had a bunch of covers. There was also the what was the follow up to Revolution?
First Strike.
Yeah. So I think those event crossover books are the ones that get a lot of covers. So I would guess one of those. But yeah, I mean, we haven't gone to check. We haven't done the. I think that's an exercise for the listener to go and check. go through the wiki and get back to us.
I would imagine that a lot of the old Dreamwave stuff is rotten with a bunch of variant covers too, especially that second miniseries. I remember there was quite a bit for that one as well.
Yeah, but I think they never got, like, you know, some of the recent IDW crossover series got past like 10 covers. You know, the Dreamwave series never got past like maybe 5 covers for a single issue. But I know
IDW loves.
Yeah. IDW did like I remember a couple of books we went through had like over 10 covers, including like, you know, custom retailer exclusive covers that some retailers commission. So that would be my guess, but yeah, like I said, we'd have to comb through the wiki to get a definitive answer here. Second question, I think we can do a better job of answering, or because it's just our opinion, but what are your thoughts on comics doing a cover similar to what was done with the Generations reprints, where they had took panels from the interior of the comic and did a rendition of that as a cover? So these were, since the Generations reprints would reprint stories from the old Marvel comics, and I guess take a page from the interior of the comic and make it a cover, or, you know, have an artist do a new rendition of that, of an interior page, and make it a cover. So I guess Dinobot is asking our opinion on that. Personally, I think that can be fun for reprint issues. I think that definitely gives you a sense of what's going to be inside the book. So, you know, it's nice to have it gives you the throwback / nostalgia feel. I do think there is the case for having original artwork on the covers, you know, just gives you something, you know, it gives you a reason to pick it up if you've already had it before, if you've already bought that book before for, you know, for reprints. But for people who are, you know, who really want to know what the, you know, don't want to be lied to, I guess, by the cover, you could have that picture. Daryl, what do you think of this idea?
Using panels from inside the book, I think is a cheat. Just pay somebody to do a cover, or you know, homage a cover that's already been done. Either, you know, or remake an existing cover for the book. You know, something that they used to do in the 70s or late 60s was use panels from the book for covers, and it's it's not done very often anymore. So, yeah, it's just lazy, I think. Just using these things as these panels as covers. I mean, you see it as on variants like second and third and fourth printings now. Sometimes you'll see like the first appearance of a character in a multiple printing. You'll see it get put, that particular like splash page will come back as like a cover for the next book. I don't really care about that, but you know, taking a bunch of panels from an existing book and using it as a, you know, as a cover is, I find that a little lazy.
Fair enough. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I guess maybe I might be a little confused on the legislation. Is he asking what particular issues we would like to see? Or I guess in a sense, do you guys remember the Transformers Generations reprints that he's talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
very good. I had to think for a second. I had to do some additional research while we were chatting here. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Daryl in that it's kind of lazy. But I think like if you can do like a artistic rendering of an iconic panel, I think that would be cool. Like I just put this up in the chat. I forget the artist. I think it was Ashley Wood, or maybe a Ben Templesmith. I don't remember which, but one of like the IDW artists of the time did a cover for Transformers number 13, the one where Megatron is stuck in gun mode and this greasy gangster guy becomes like this mob boss from wielding Megatron. Anyway, the cover for the Generations reprint is like a super moody, super stylized version of that. I don't know if that's a actual panel from the book or not, but something like that where you're doing a modern take riff on something classic, I think could be cool. I don't know. Maybe I got bogged down in the legislation of what he's actually asking.
I think that's a fair answer. Yeah. I don't think he was asking us what issues we would like to see reprinted. I think he was just asking if the, you know, about this style of cover. So
got it.
Fair enough. Okay, Jeremy, what do you think?
I think if the comic is a reprint, I want it to look exactly like the original. Like the recent facsimile editions that Marvel and DC have been putting out, things like that. But if it's just a general comic that they want to use a cover or like a panel from the interior as the cover, I agree with Daryl. I think that's cheap. I would prefer something like what Mike just said, like have someone do a take on a scene from the book.
Yeah.
Cause I prefer the covers like Mike said in the review, that the cover has something to do with the story inside. That's my preference. So this kind of goes along with what we were talking about in like the last couple of weeks about the use of like toy photography as a cover. I think it's artistically it's lazy, and I would much prefer having the covers, you know, having some artist have their expression of something that's happening inside of the book, but in their own style, you know, because, you know, not only is it, you know, trying to sell the book, it's its own art piece.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy. And that's why I brought up the example I did of that of that reprint of that Megatron issue, because it's super stylized, super gloomy, and nothing that you would have seen on the Marvel comic in the day. But yeah. It's cool as something different.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Dinobot, hope we answered your question. Thanks for writing in. And that will take us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, we got to give a shout out to our masterpiece Donatrion, John Forex Levengood. Thanks for continuing to support the show. You are a masterpiece. And thank you to Mike Seibert for joining us this week. Mike, tell everyone where they can find you online.
Well, you can listen to my podcast, the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast, pretty much everywhere you listen to transmissions, you know, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow me on all of your social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all of those at Mike Seibert Radio. And the spelling on that is S-E-I-B-E-R-T. Just type in Mike Seibert Radio with that spelling, and I should be like the first or second match down the line. I do stuff and things that are on my mind every week. I'm not 100% Transformers. I would probably say I'm about maybe, I don't know, 70-30 to Transformers content to other content. I interview independent artists, comic book artists, musicians, podcasters, and just kind of talk about open format discussion interview style shows. It's a lot of fun, and if you like this style of discussion, I think you'd really like my show as well. And again, thank you guys so much for having me on. This is this was an absolute blast. It's always fun kicking it with you guys.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And yeah, so now that we've certified you with the rapid fire questions, you can come back anytime.
Wonderful. I can't wait. Hopefully I won't yak your ears off as much next time. But no promises, because brevity, again, is not my strongest strength.
All right. Well, that will do it for Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Later.
Make good choices.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.